Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Genesis, please, the chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. We read some verses from the Word of God. And we will commence in verse number 7 down to verse 23. Let's follow the reading of God's precious Word together, please. Came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eye upon Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, or he hath committed all things that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" It came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. It came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there therein. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. It came to pass that when she saw that he had left her garment in her hand, and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And I heard, and it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. She spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. It came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. It came to pass that when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, "After this manner did thy servant to me," that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Amen. And we know that God will once again bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy goodness to us and thy love towards us. We thank thee, O God, for another opportunity of opening thy word. And I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou will write thy word now upon the fleshy tables of our hearts. Help us, our God, our Father, not to have hard hearts. But, O God, we pray that we might have submissive hearts, those that will listen and heed and do what thou dost say. We pray that thou wilt make thy word a rich blessing to our souls today, that as we leave the house of God, that we might know indeed afresh, it was truly good to be here, for God did meet with us in a mighty way. O my God, I pray in Jesus' name, fill me with a blessed Holy Ghost, the power of Pentecost. Fill me to the uttermost. I take, Lord Jesus, undertake for me. I pray this in Jesus' precious name, remembering those who cannot be with us this morning but would love to be among the people of God. Father, I pray that thou wilt presence thyself with them, and whatever the need is in their body or hearts or minds, we pray that thou wilt meet them at the very point of that need. Answer prayer for them, we pray, in Jesus' name and for his glory alone. Amen and amen. Now this morning we want to come afresh to the Word of God, and we come to the 39th chapter once again of the book of Genesis. And as we come to this chapter, we realize that this chapter speaks to us It is a chapter of great temptation that was set in the pathway of a godly young man. And we noted in the passing of our past studies, we noticed the timing of the temptation. We noticed the thinking behind the temptation. We looked upon the thrust of the temptation, the transgressions of the temptation, the trial of the temptation. And then last Lord's Day, the triumph over the temptation, for Joseph refused and he got himself out. There are two things I want us to notice this morning, and it is the turning of the temptation and the treatment after the temptation. Because those are two things that are still in this chapter, and we want to conclude this chapter this morning in the life of Joseph, and it is a chapter overcoming temptation and victory in the hour of temptation. And so we find here this morning, we have the turning of the temptation. Now you remember that Potiphar's wife, she was the temptress. She was the one who sought to take Joseph down, this pure, godly young man. This man who had a testimony of godly testimony in his master's house. And how the devil sought to destroy that testimony and even destroy the life of Joseph here in his master or Potiphar's house. Now, of course, we find that whenever the hour of temptation came, we have noticed that Joseph did the only thing, the only wise thing that Joseph could do. He couldn't start to, as it were, reason with this woman, because day after day she tried to bring him down. Whenever she didn't get her temptation yielded to the first time, she tried it in so many different ways. And so Joseph didn't try to reason with her. He didn't try to apologize for anything he was going to do. The Bible says, first of all, he refused. And whenever she kept on, he, as it were, sought to keep himself pure and to take a stand against this temptation. Now, of course, Potiphar's wife, not to be outdone, day after day she tried to put herself in the presence of Joseph. But it doesn't tell us that Joseph went into the house, because Joseph was very careful. Although she, as it were, put herself in front of him, and she would flicker her eyes and she would seek to lead him into temptation, yet Joseph's heart was determined that he was going to do the right thing in the sight of God and in the sight of Potiphar, his master, and the rest of the servants in that house. In actual fact, he was going to do the right thing for Potiphar's wife as well, in that he refused and he constantly said no. Now, of course, there came a day in the execution of his duties. We find that indeed that Joseph came into the house. It was in the course of his duty. And on that day, because the Holy Spirit is very careful, it says in verse 11, he went into the house to do his business. And so the Spirit of God is making it clear he was a wise young man. He didn't put himself in front of this woman. She flaunted herself in front of him, but he kept himself out of the house until one day it was in the course of his business. It was in the course of his duty to his master that he went into the house. And of course we find, and we know, as we mentioned last Lord's Day, that she pulled him by his garment. He wasn't going to get away this time, because she talked, she not only flaunted herself in front of him, now she catches him. And she takes a hold of his garment, she takes a hold of his coat, and she holds on to him, and she pulls him down to her, and she says, and she brings her vile temptation into Joseph in a very powerful way. And she says, lie with me. Now we find that Joseph, all he could do at this moment was this. He couldn't start saying, don't do this, don't do this. You know, that's sometimes we're tempted when we get into that hour of temptation. We try to reason this through. Joseph realized there was only one thing he could do. He would have to put muscle to his determination. And so the Bible says that Joseph, he left his garment. It says in verse number 12, she caught him, and it says he left his garment in her hand.
and fled. In other words, he pulled himself away from her. And that meant the taking of his garment, his outer garment, his coat from her, or from himself. And he left it in her hand, and it says this, and he got him out. Now, Potiphar's wife has got a problem here. And the problem is this. She realizes that Joseph was still standing determined. And therefore she feared that Joseph would run. He had run out, so where was he going to run to? She feared that he was running to Potiphar. He was going to run to her husband and tell her husband exactly what she had done. And so therefore she had to act quickly, because the devil's very subtle. And the devil's very crafty. He'll soon get a good story made up. And my, what does she do? She said, then the word of God says in verse 14, that she called unto the men of her house. Now you will notice she didn't want the men before this. Because if you look in verse number 11, it says, and there was none of the men of the house there therein. She didn't want to do the sin in front of the men. But my, she wants the men included now to tell her story. And so she calls for the men. As Joseph hastes out of her presence, she has to think quickly, and she beckons the men to come and to be a part of her, a part of her accusation, and a part of her evidence to her husband Potiphar. She was a temptress, and now she seeks to tell a story that will cover her sin. Now the word of God tells me in Proverbs 28 verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, and whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And so here's a woman, she's going to cover her sin. And the word of God says that she will not prosper, and neither she did. She did not prosper. But of course, there's a journey has to be taken here in the story. Now, we notice that she sought to do things. First of all, she sought to cover her sin. She tried to cover her sin. That's why she called the man in. But also remember, she was a woman that was scorned. And therefore, she had a second purpose. She was not only covering her sin, she was revenging God's child, Joseph, because he didn't yield to her sin. And so she had a hatred in her heart against him because he would not yield to her charm or to the claims that she was making upon her life. And of course she would have the coat to support her claim as she made her accusation. Now, of course, she was ready to, with her tongue, make this accusation. And the tongue of this evil woman reveals the character of the woman, because her tongue was going to be used as a tool of the devil. There's an old saying that says, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. And friend, I want to tell you, we'll see the fury of this woman. We'll see the vengeance and the revenge and the hatred that this woman has against Joseph as she seeks to cover up her sin. And notice how she does it. Well, she calls, the Bible tells us, she called, verse 14, unto the men of her house and spake unto them. She needs somebody to try and cooperate her story. And so while she didn't want the men whenever she was going to practice her sin, now she wants the men then to cover her sin. She wants them in to be able to say, aye, Potiphar, it happened like this, and your wife is innocent, although she herself was a guilty one. But you know, in her scorn here, and in her hatred and revenge, it says this in verse 14, and she spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew. Now, who is the he? The word he, she didn't say Potiphar. She didn't call her husband by his name. She just calls it, she calls him a he. And what she's doing here, she's showing contempt for her own husband. And then she says, he had brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. In other words, she's saying, you know, really, my husband's to blame here. My husband's at fault here. because he was the one that brought this Hebrew into our house and brought him into our house to mock us. And the word there is insult us, or to treat us in a base way, or to treat us in an unworthy manner, or to cause an injury unto this family, which would demand revenge by her husband. And so she says, he had brought an Hebrew unto us to mock us. And rightly she says, it's a he. It is not Potiphar has done this. And so she's showing contempt for her husband. But friends, she's showing contempt not only by saying he, but by whom she's speaking to. She's speaking to the men of the house. She's speaking to the servants. And so what she's actually doing is this. She is undermining respect for her own husband, who was guiltless in this. But she's so angry. She's so furious. She's so filled with hatred and revenge. She doesn't care who she hurts. She's willing to hurt her own husband. She's willing to undermine her own husband. She's willing to talk with him, to talk about him in a disrespectful and a contemptuous way. And of course, she'll get the man on her side, because these other servants, when she mentions he has brought an Hebrew in. And of course, that was awful. That was an insult, really, to the rest of the Egyptians. And so that would render him hateful and contemptible to the Egyptians. And so there's no length at which this woman is willing to go, because she's a spiteful woman. And this man has incurred her wrath. Joseph has incurred her wrath because he has not yielded to sin. Now it's interesting that once again a coat comes into the story. Because notice what it says here. It says that he left his garment, verse 15, with me, and fled out and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And of course, this garment, this outer coat, it was the one that was left for the evidence. She had got some evidence that seemed to point to the guilt of Joseph. Now it's interesting, coats seem to have an interesting place in Joseph's life, because remember, it was Joseph's brother that took his first coat and dipped it in blood to make his father believe that he was dead. It was the evidence. It was the evidence that Joseph was dead. Now here's the outer garment, or his coat, his second coat, that has been given to him. And we find that Potiphar's wife uses the second coat to make others think that Joseph's immoral. In other words, one was to deceive concerning his condition, that he was dead. The second one was to deceive concerning his character, in that he was immoral. And how many people, my friends, listen, how many innocent people have down the ages perished by false accusation? But of course, you know where this accusation was coming from. It was inspired by the devil himself. If you keep your hand there, and our brother read this morning in the book of Revelation and the chapter 12. And in the book of Revelation chapter 12, it says this in verse number 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And now the deceiver here is the one who's energizing Potiphar's wife to destroy godly Joseph. Is the one who's energizing is the great deceiver himself, is the devil himself. But it says, thank God he was cast out into the earth. Verse number 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. He is the old accuser. You remember Joseph, the devil came into the presence of God to accuse, or rather Job, godly Job was accused by the devil, and yet he was a man of integrity. Now we find once again the accusation has been laid against this young man, Joseph. And lie upon lie. Look at verse 15. It came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and I cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. Friend, it's just lie upon lie that she builds her story. Of course, it takes a liar to have a great memory, because he has to build one lie to cover up another lie, cover up another. And so we find that's exactly what this woman done. But she had got one piece of evidence. Notice what it says. Boy, she's very careful. Verse 16. She laid up his garment by her. Boy, she wasn't letting it go. She didn't give it to the servants, mind you. No. She held that garment as close to her, because that was the only piece of evidence that she could really give unto Potiphar whenever he came. And it says she laid it by her until her Lord came home. It was her testimony piece, as it were, against godly Joseph. Now it says until his Lord came home. We don't know where his Lord was or where Potiphar was. Perhaps he was on a journey. Perhaps he was in court that day because he was an officer of Pharaoh. We don't know. But until he came home. And so we find here is the turning of the temptation by a lie against seeking to prove the guilt of an innocent man. But then what happens then? And that brings me to this thought, the treatment after the temptation. What happened whenever this evidence was produced? Well, look at verse number 18, it says, and it came to her, and she spake, verse number 17, she spake unto him, that's unto her husband, unto Potiphar, according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us. Now here once again, she's pointing the finger at him to cover up her sin. You remember whenever God faced Adam concerning his sin in the Garden of Eden and says, Adam, what have you done? Where art thou, Adam? Where art thou? And Adam said to God, he says, the woman that thou didst give me, she gave me, and I did eat. You see, there's nothing new under the sun, friend. That's what it says by Solomon. There is nothing new under the sun in the book of Ecclesiastes. And so we find here that the old devil is once again, he's pointing the finger at Potiphar. The servant, the Hebrew servant, which thou hast brought unto us, came in unto me to mock me. It was a lie. It was a lie. But of course, she had a proof. It's in verse 18. It came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me. He didn't leave his garment with me. Let me tell you, my friend, she caught a hold of him by the garment. She was pulling the garment. That's why he had to leave it. He had to get himself out. And he was willing to leave his garment in his outer coat. He was willing to leave it in her hand because he wanted to be pure. He wanted to keep himself pure. And so it says here, he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass that when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me. Did thy servant to me. Notice, thy servant. Once again, thy servant. Your fault. You brought him in. You brought this Hebrew, this despicable person, into this house. And he has mocked me. He was going to sin with me. Oh no, she didn't call it that. Because it was her who was going to sin with him. And so it was after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison. Friend, you know, there's some things I want you to notice in this as we come to these latter verses. There's some important things for us to see. Because what was the treatment after Joseph did that was right? How was he treated? Was he applauded by man? No, he was lied against. Was he one that was defended by man? No. He was brought under a false accusation. And for a period of time, let me tell you, there are three things I could just simply say. First of all, he lost his reputation. He lost his reputation. You know, it hurts. It hurts when you're falsely accused. Because let's be quite honest. Whenever muck is thrown, some will stick. Some will stick, even though you're innocent. You see, there will be those who are only too ready to believe. And there'll be those who'll be only too ready to spread it. And they'll usually say this, after all, there must be something to it. Have you not heard that before? Or friend, maybe not have you heard that before. Have you said it before? After all, there must be something to it. And here was a holy young man, a godly character. And it has been seen. It has been seen by Potiphar. But now we find that he's lied against. And he came in to mock me. And it was only when he heard me cry. I'm so innocent, Potiphar. When I cried out. When I cried out, then he ran away, but he couldn't run quickly. He left his garment with me. I'm innocent. He's guilty. Friend, be honest, says this. It came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife. And the innocent is not guilty. Do you remember what Potiphar saw in Joseph before this? Look at verse 2, chapter 39. It says this, and the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand, and Joseph found grace in Potiphar's sight and served him. That's what his reputation was. Friend, where's his reputation now? His reputation, by one sweep of an accusation, his reputation's gone. He loses his reputation. But he not only loses his reputation, he loses his residence. Because he's no longer in his master's house anymore. He's no longer in his position anymore. He's no longer in his job in his master's house anymore. No. The Bible says in verse 20, put him into the prison. So he's lost his reputation. And he has lost his residence. And he has lost his rewards. Because friend, let me tell you, with that job, with that, you see, technically he was only a slave. But here was a person, everything that was his master, except his wife, everything that was his master, Potiphar put into Joseph's hand. Everything. Everything. And he was rewarded. Joseph was able to say, listen, everything that's my master doesn't even know what's on the table until I put it there. Because everything, except you, he's kept nothing back from my hand. And verse 20 says, put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. Friend, this isn't an easy place, you know, that Joseph is put in. Don't you think that they just put Joseph into this prison and everything? Well, it wasn't an easy place to be in, but nevertheless, it really wasn't so bad after all. Because that's not in accordance to the word of God. Turn with me to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. And in Psalm 105, would you look at verse number 17? He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. That's what prison meant to him. He lost his rewards. Where is he now? Where is this young man that stood for God? Where is this young man? What's happened to him who was righteous and holy in his character, who would not yield to temptation? Where is he now? He's lying in the prison. His feet are put in fetters. And the word of God says he's hurt. He's hurt. For he's been put in iron.
I want you to notice something, friend, before we come back to verses 19 and 20. He lost his reputation for a while, and he lost his residence, and he lost his reward. But notice who he didn't lose. Look at verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. Listen, friends. We sang a wee hymn this morning, Dare to be a Daniel. Daniel was a godly young man, and Daniel was put in prison. But listen, Daniel was safer in prison with the lions than outside in freedom, because the Lord was there. Tell me, what do you cherish most? Who do you cherish most? He didn't lose the presence of the Lord. Now tell me, if that had been you, if that had been me, tell me, what would people be thinking now? Do you remember when they threw him in and put him into the prison and they put his feet in fetters and now the irons are hurting him? And yet he has been godly. He has only been doing what was right. He was honoring his master. He didn't want to sin against God. He didn't want to sin against his master. He didn't want to sin even against his master's wife. He's hurting. Those old fetters are hurting him. In that old dark hole and dungeon. Tell me, what would you think about? Probably you and I would be feeling we're let down. Let down by his master, his human master. Because it says this, that when his master, verse 19, heard the words of his wife, in other words, his master believed his wife before he believed him. And yet his master used to entrust everything to him. But one false accusation, friend, let me tell you this, his master got rid of him. Why did Potiphar not believe me? Why didn't they examine the facts? Because it says there, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison. You see, as a boy, as a Jewish boy, as a Hebrew lad, Jacob would have taught Joseph that good would always come to the good. And he'd always sought to keep his father's commandments for him. He had carried out all the assignments that his father gave him. Even when he himself was hurt, he still was faithful and honorable. He'd even accepted his slavery. He applied himself to his work as a servant, as a slave. And all he had done was resisted the wrong. F.B. Meyer said, he put it like this, was it any use then being good? And is it not true that many of God's people, you see, when they see the prosperity of the wicked, maybe in business, and they see them getting on, and yet they're hooks and crooks, but they seem to be getting on with it. They seem to be getting by with it. And did David not say, listen, he said, I saw the wicked prosper. I saw them spread themselves as a green bay tree. And he said, I couldn't understand what is happening. Why is this happening to them? And look at me. Surely there's something wrong. Is there any use doing things by the right? Is there any use being good and godly? And the old devil will come to you and play games with your mind, friend. So what's the use? Look at them and look at you. You're doing it right, but look at them. And they're doing it wrong. But they're far better than you. Of course, the devil says, why don't you stoop to them what they're doing? And as Joseph would be in that pit, friend, in that dungeon, could there be any truth in what his father had taught him?
Was there a God who judged righteously in the earth? What a disappointment. What loss, what suffering. Friend, that could once again have embittered his soul. But you read the story, friend, you'll not find that anywhere. The devil is trying once again to destroy this godly young man. And it's not through Potiphar's wife's action now. It's his position here, being cast aside even by his master that he was faithful to. What a reward for being faithful. And yet there is no bitterness here. Do you know why? Because God sustained him through it all. That's what it says, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Through it all, the hymn writer says, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Are you trusting him, friend, through the valley experiences? Are you trusting him through the dark parts of the journey? And God's children have to go through those days. But we have to trust him. He says, trust me. And I believe what kept Joseph going, friend, was a deep conviction. First of all, that his sufferings proved that he really was God's child. God kept him faithful. Thank God I'm a child of God. And that's an important knowledge. That's an important stay in the day of trouble. No matter what else I have the Lord. I have the Lord with me. I have the presence of the Lord. And there's none that is able to take me out of the Savior's hand. Turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, it says in verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice! And be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. What blessed assurance to know that Jesus is mine, even in days of adversity. Turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, it says in verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council where they had been accused and where they had been told not to preach in the name of Jesus anymore. And they departed from the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Counted worthy to suffer shame. Then turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, and the verse number 13, it says this, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Isn't that mighty? The Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you when you are reproached for the name of Christ. And Joseph was being reproached because of his trust in the Lord and doing that which is right and serving God. It says, on their part he is evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Friend, Joseph was stayed in the day of his trouble. But let's be honest. The treatment that Joseph received was unjust. But you see, whenever you live right and do what's right, then don't you expect the world to clap you in the back? Don't you expect the world to come along and say, "Mind, you're a wonderful person because you're doing what's right." Remember this. Abel was slain by Cain. Laban dealt treacherously and dishonestly with Jacob. The Egyptians mistreated the Israelites. Saul was treacherous with David. Naboth was slandered by Jezebel. John the Baptist was beheaded by Herod. Stephen was stoned by the religious mob. Paul was persecuted in city after city. No, the world didn't pat them on the back. And what about our Savior? Our suffering Christ. You see, Joseph was wrongly treated. Joseph didn't compromise outside the prison. And nowhere do we find that Joseph complained inside the prison. Why? Because the Lord is with him. You know, we do not read about Joseph complaining. But I'll tell you what we do read, just very quickly. Whenever you go into the 40th chapter, Joseph's not bitter against God, friend, because when you come to the 40th chapter and go down to verse number 8, whenever the dreams were brought to him about the butler and the baker, and it says in verse 8, "And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God?" He hasn't forgotten God. And God hasn't forgot him. Now, very quickly, in time's away, listen. I want you to notice something. That whilst his master believed, or rather, took the word of his wife, in verse 19, when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, "After this manner did thy servant to me," that his wrath was kindled. My friend, notice, it didn't say his wrath was kindled against Joseph. It just says his wrath was kindled. Let me explain this to you. Had his master have believed that Joseph was guilty, he would have put him to death. But notice he didn't put him to death. Now he had to do something because, you see, the men of the house were watching. And deep in his heart he knew that Joseph was not wrong. Deep in his heart he knew that Joseph was not guilty. Deep in his heart he knew that his wife was the one that was guilty. And it just simply says, his wrath was kindled. Ah, yes, it does say. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison. It didn't say because he believed he had done wrong. You know, Potiphar was just like Reuben. He knew what was right. But he hadn't the guts to do it. Hadn't the guts to do it. If he had believed that Joseph was guilty, Joseph would not have been put into that prison. Joseph would have been dead. Because Potiphar had the power to do it. But he was put in prison. And friend, let me tell you, Potiphar was kindled. His wrath was kindled, but it was against his wife because she spoke disrespectfully to him. She spoke disrespectfully about him. And now she has used his favorite servant, Joseph. See, Potiphar knew that God was with this young fella. God knew that all was made to prosper under his hand. And Potiphar had got to the position he was in as captain of the guard because he was astute, because he was sharp, because of his observant eye. But he couldn't act against his wife. So he abused Joseph. My last thought, and this is over. You know, when you do right, friend, the Lord will honor you. Maybe not be at that moment, but listen, let me tell you, God says in his word, him that honoreth me, him will I honor. And God can't break his word. It says in verse 21, we have to go because of time, but the Lord was with Joseph. But not it only says that, but it says, and he showed him mercy. And then he showed him favor. He showed him mercy and grace. He showed him mercy and grace. And it's amazing. Here was a lad who was put into prison first of all, and he was put into fetters. And his feet were hurt by them. And yet it says this. The keeper of the prison, verse 22, committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. Isn't that just like Potiphar in his house before Joseph went into prison? The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with Joseph. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. And God's turning the injustice to good. You'll find that Joseph had a caring spirit. You'll find that Joseph had a cheerful spirit, even in the prison. And you'll find that Joseph had a courteous spirit. What a godly young man. And even when you're hurt, friend, and you're hurting, and even when things seem against you, may God give you that caring, that sympathetic heart and spirit. May God give you that cheerful spirit, even in the midst of adversity. And may God give you a courteous spirit, even looking out for others, as we'll see when we come to chapter 40. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word to our hearts. And we pray that thou wilt make us like our Savior. Oh, that day by day we'll grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ. That as the word looks upon us, that, oh God, that we will have the characteristics of the godly young man. That thou wilt give us grace. For thou hast given us mercy and grace up to this day. And grace has brought us safe thus far. And God's grace will bring us home. We pray in Jesus' precious name.